where God is sort of dancing around man. This is confusing enough already for Peter. He wants to set up tents. I mean, Jesus is discipling Peter and trying to teach him how to teach about himself. And so he repeats this story verbatim as it happened. And what, is that all to give us a false impression? That's why I don't like teachers who would take away from things about that the scriptures just sort of indicate, just plainly. There's a bit of interpretation, but you don't want to put a lot of leaven in. You want to try to keep it as unleavened as possible. And I don't mean to cut any corners on that, like saying, oh, a little leaven is acceptable. No, it's not. But if we interpret things properly, I'm just saying that interpreting passages is an opportunity to add leaven. But it need not be so if we're careful and if we are looking at the intent. If we are looking at the overall picture and keeping that in mind, if it's sincere and true, it's not leaven. It's just more bread. It's just the true doctrine. The true teaching. So they were afraid. They fell on their faces. He touched them, told them to get up. They saw only the Lord, and he said, don't tell anybody about this. Till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Because remember, he'd begun to talk about these things. I'm going to be betrayed and killed and crucified. Verse 10. And then his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come, Elijah? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say to you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall they also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. In the story of the Christ, there is this idea of Elijah. Elijah is going to come. It comes from the closing chapters of the Old Testament. Actually, let's read the whole last chapter of Malachi. Malachi 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So that's the prophecy that the Pharisees refer to, that Elijah must first come. And that's why, that's specifically what they referred to. But Jesus is taking a different tack on it. He says Elijah is already come. And they did to him whatever they wanted. What it listed is the old English, it actually means to will. It does not, to me, I think of it makes me think of drifting, because I think we think of listless. We still use listless. Like, I was having a very listless day. I was feeling very listless. And really what it means is it's the opposite of listful. Listful is having much will and much direction. Listless is having no direction, no will, apathy. So, whatever they listed, because I was thinking for some reason is a ship drifting to one side or the other, the ship is listing. But really, it means more like when you say a car is pulling to one direction or the other. It's pulling. It's listing. So it's a word of strength, of will. So Jesus confirms that John the Baptist was Elijah, or as it says in another place, he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He wasn't a reincarnation of Elijah. That's not what the prophet meant in the Old Testament either. He didn't mean reincarnation of Elijah. He meant it was he was like Elijah revisited. He comes in the spirit of Elijah. He's a prophet like unto Elijah. And John was, according to Christ, a prophet like unto Elijah. And he was the one who would come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers in his generation. You know, to call the people to repentance. That's what that means, the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. It means to call them to repentance. To call them back to their duty. You know, the father has a duty to the son, and the sons have duties to their fathers. And to turn their hearts back to those duties, to the right things, to the things of righteousness and virtue, to the things of holiness and godliness, and of truth, and of the Spirit of God. And so John came to call men back to that. And Jesus says in verse 11, Elias truly shall come first. And he truly comes first. And this is generally taken that he is hinting that before his return, Elijah would come again. But I really suppose that if in the days of Christ, if he had returned after the resurrection immediately, I don't know if there would be another Elijah like maybe Paul, because he was certainly a notable prophet. And unlike John, you know, Elijah did a lot of miracles. But he did miracles of a certain character. A lot of Elijah's miracles were, you know, he called down fire from heaven against his enemies. I mean, that's heavy miracles. Those are the signs that people like to see. You know, that's, oh, wow, burn up the unbelievers. Yeah, you know, people believe that. People believe the prophet that brings down fire. You know, and everyone wants to be on the side. That's what the people of Jesus' time, including the disciples, they thought Messiah is going to come, and man, he's going to burn out the Romans. He's going to set them on fire and throw them out of our land. He's going to become king. His kingdom is going to expand to cover, you know, the whole world or whatever. You know, whatever they thought they were going to be, the heirs of a kingdom on earth, the kingdom that Christ was preaching, is a kingdom that will come to earth. But first the king had to be rejected, and he would lay down his life for our sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be made fit for this kingdom. The men of his generation were not fit for it, and they did not judge themselves fit for it because they rejected the king. And the men of this generation, I don't know. I don't know if anyone's fit for the kingdom of heaven. But Christ, by his power, can make us to be fit. He can make us to be acceptable, and make us accepted in the beloved, as it is written in Ephesians, first chapter.